Good morning. This is Right Here, Right Now, brought to you by Right Choice Services. I'm your host, Tim Morrison. On Right Here, Right Now, we interview business leaders, entrepreneurs, and professionals about their work and the book they have written, are in the process of writing, or intend to write someday. My co-host for the program is Stone Payton. He's a vital cog at Business Radio X with his own show, High Velocity Radio. Good morning, Stone.
Well, good morning, sir. It's a good. It feels good to be here. Do you know what happened yesterday, don't you?
No.
Yesterday afternoon, we hung the Business Radio X sign right there at 200 Peachtree, Peachtree and Ellis. Yes, yeah, so I'm jazzed, and I'm telling everybody that'll listen that we've got this great big 6-foot by 3-foot sign right there in the heart of downtown at the old Macy's building.
Oh, and it's right beside, I know, you showed me a picture. It's right beside this huge red Christmas ball.
I know,
ball.
I didn't know they were going to do that. So there's this big Christmas ball, but when you walk out of the Ritz-Carlton, which I'm sure you're at the Ritz all the time, right?
Well,
when you walk out of the Ritz-Carlton, you look up, right across the street is the Business Radio X sign. And so I know that home base for you is here in the Alpharetta studio, but I'm thinking we ought to do a few of these shows out of downtown.
We ought to
sometime.
Probably do that. Well, the other thing, I'm glad you lifted that up, because this is the first of two shows we're doing this week. We have a special edition coming up on Friday, and I'll mention more about that at the end of this broadcast. Well, whether an author is fortunate to be published by a traditional publisher or elects to self-publish, one factor is common, and that is the author must fully engage in the marketing process. And that comes as a surprise to most first-time authors. They tend to have the mistaken notion that if a traditional publisher publishes their manuscript, the publisher handles all the marketing. Well, that's simply not the case. No, it doesn't happen that way. They don't even bring out the checkbook and send you on the road on a book tour. So author Marcia Gaddis has teamed with Mimi Schroeder of Max Communications to effectively market Marcia's book, When God Comes Near, Waiting in the Miracle of His Presence. And part of their marketing included speaking with me. Can you imagine that?
And it worked anyway.
Yeah, it worked anyway. They found me when we were doing the remote down at the Decatur Book Festival.
Cool.
And as the three of us talked, I remembered that Marcia had walked away with several of the top awards for personal story at a writing conference I had attended earlier in the year. And I also recalled having had an extended phone conversation with Mimi. So some of the things we're going to discuss this morning are why Marcia elected to make a book out of her journal entries written during her daughter's battle with a terminal illness, and how did Marcia find Mimi, and why Mimi agreed to market Marcia and her book, and how having a public relations person benefits an author. So there you go. That's to help calm your nerves, all right? You know, the beauty of radio is nobody can see if you're nervous unless the stupid radio host mentions it, you know? And that's always fun. Well, I welcome both of you to the show this morning.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Good to be here.
And now, Marcia, you are an author, a speaker, a wife, and a mother, and your blog is the olive branch. And Mimi, you're the person behind Max Communications, a public relations firm that focuses upon marketing authors and others, I imagine, right?
Just authors.
Boy, you have picked a select group. Good.
I have. Well, it's a group I've worked with for about 20 years, and I really enjoy working with authors.
See. I already threw my first curve, didn't I? I said I was going to start with Marcia, and I'm over here talking to Mimi.
It's okay.
That's the way it goes.
Well, I want to know, though, why the focus on authors? Is it because you really genuinely feel like the niches make the riches, that focus is the power, or you just have a genuine love for authors, or both?
Well, it's kind of both. I've worked with authors for so many years in different capacities that I feel like I know that particular field. And also in publicity, in public relations, I think it helps to have a particular niche.
It's like any good business, right?
Well, I mean, I hear that over and over again, and it's difficult for a lot of folks. I know me, I'm easily distracted by shiny things. You know? And so, you know, I go have lunch with someone, and they mention this great idea, and I want to run down that path, but the people, I don't know a lot of them, but the people I know that have money are the ones that are really successful. They've done like she's talking about. They've taken a laser focus toward their effort.
Well, that, you know, and that's part of what we're about in this show as well, because when Stone and I were talking about getting Right Here, Right Now going, he suggested that I interview speakers and authors, and I've really come down to authors, and a lot of them are speakers. And in fact, I talk about, you heard at the beginning, we interview business leaders, entrepreneurs, and professionals. I've had college students and high school students write to me because they're authors, and I say, 5 or 6 years from now, we'll do that. But staying specific helps a lot. Well, Marcia, now, finally, here we go.
I'm here.
When God Comes Near emerged from your daughter's battle with Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease, what drew you into writing about that journey? That had to be tough.
It was really hard. After Megan was diagnosed, a nurse friend of mine said, Marcia, you've got to get information out there to all the people that know and love Megan and want to know what's going on in your life, as opposed to talking with people on the phone about the situation. So she said, you should go on one of the caring sites, websites. So I went on to carepages.com, and they gave me the platform from which to write from the safety of my home. I started writing a little bit once a week. I would tell about what we had for dinner and what Megan was doing, and it was a very slow, progressive disease. So I just tried to tell people that we would choose to hold our heads up in the midst of this devastating illness of my child. And as I wrote, it just began to become something that really wasn't so much about me, but it was about my faith journey during this time and how our family was going to move through this unbelievable diagnosis.
Yeah. And perhaps for the sake of our listeners, we should have you tell us a little bit about what that disease is.
It's a disease that most people have never even heard of, Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease. It is a neurological disease that destroys the brain in a short period of time. Typically, it happens in people in the 7th or 8th decade of life. For Megan, she was just 25 when she first started having symptoms very similar to Alzheimer's, forgetting how to use a can opener or open a gift, things like that. Dropping words, not being able to retrieve words. And here was a beautiful college graduate who had just gotten her master's degree and taught school. And it was just a real struggle to discover that your mind is not functioning the way it normally is. So we brought her home. She lived with us starting in June of 2007. They told us she would only live for about 4 to 6 months. Mm-hmm. Fortunately, she lived for 16 months, and we were able to care for her and love her in our home until she died on September 12, 2008. So, during the 16 months, I had a lot of writing practice.
I guess you did.
I wasn't a writer. I was not a writer, but I committed weekly to tell the readers, which at one point I think we had over 2,000 people following the website on carepages.com, wanting a word from Megan. And of course, as the disease progressed, you know, as I was thinking the other day, people were waiting to hear when that time would come. And the writing became more and more compelling and more spiritually focused. And it was all a big surprise to me because I had written the Christmas letter. Mm-hmm. I had written long letters, and I'd written a few things for newspaper articles at Whitfield Academy where I had worked. But this type of writing was different. It was going in a new direction, and I, quite frankly, didn't know what to do with it.
That's always the fun of writing, when we really don't know what we're doing.
And it was fun, but it was bittersweet because of what I was dealing with.
Yeah. Now, was Megan aware that you were probably going to create a book out of this journey?
Was Megan aware?
Yeah.
Was I aware? Was anyone aware?
That was a good question, wasn't
this,
it?
Apparently, yeah.
This is the great mystery of when God comes near. I tell everyone that the title really should be When I Came Near and the Author is God, because I had no idea this would turn into a book. As the writing progressed on carepages.com, and after Megan died, people would say, you've got to write a book, you've got to write a book. And I'm like, I'm not a writer. I just want to grieve. My daughter's just died. I don't want to write a book. But I kept thinking about that. And in 2009, I thought, okay, I'll go to the Blue Ridge Christian Writers Conference. So I signed myself up, and I sat across the table from publishers, and I would burst into tears and tell them about the book that I had written about the journey of my daughter. And, of course, it was too early. It was much too early to be at a writer's conference. So I came back home and decided that I would, yes, I would write this book, and I would probably try to self-publish it because I was too intimidated by all those fancy publishers at the writers' conference.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I committed to write it, and in January of 2010, I sat down in 2 months' time and rewrote those journal entries and transformed them into what is now When God Comes Near. I had a lot of help.
I'll
that
bet.
Came alongside.
I'll bet. I want to pause right there and pick up. Sure. You rewrote the journal entries.
Yes. I put them in chapter forms into the book, but there were many journal entries that I left intact
mm-hmm.
because there was a powerful message there.
Sure.
And when I hired a professional editor, she said to me one day, Marcia, this is really odd. Some of the mistakes that you make grammatically in your writing appear in some paragraphs and don't in other paragraphs. And I said, oh, I know that. I said, that was God. I said, he has perfect grammar too. You know, that was his writing there.
Uh-huh. Well, the reason I pushed you on that question is that I've encountered a lot of people who think, I'll just take my journal and make a book out of it. Yes, but
yes,
you cannot just take a diary or a journal and make a book out of it. You have to rework some of the stuff.
You have to rework it. And I decided with this story that the hardest part needed to come first.
Mm-hmm.
And so that first chapter, as we all know, as any writer knows, as I know now, that you have to capture the reader within the first two or three pages of the book in order to get them to want to finish the book.
First paragraph helps a lot.
First paragraph.
Yeah.
And so the first paragraph in this book is pretty hard to read. But if one can get past the first paragraph,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Would you like for me to read it?
Sure, go ahead.
Death teaches us that what we love about a person is not her smile or touch, but that which comes from deep within the soul. I began to understand that as we watched Megan's spirit leave her body. As death consumed her, she changed. The light in her eyes dimmed. She became a breathing skeleton. Her face became expressionless and pale. No longer would we see those raised, perfectly shaped eyebrows and that knowing sparkle in her big brown eyes. Her body temperature began to cool and her skin felt dry and rough. She became almost unrecognizable. Megan, our daughter, sister, and friend was no longer there.
That is a powerful mm-hmm. first paragraph. And it still chokes you up a little bit, doesn't it?
It still does.
I can see that.
It still does.
Well, where did Mimi come into this? How did you meet her?
Mimi has just been a wonderful addition to this whole process of writing. After Megan died, after the book was published, and, you know, I thought, well, now what do I do with the book? I'd sold it to all my family and friends two or three times. I'd given away a lot of books. And I thought, well, now I've got to figure out how to get the book out there because I had boxes in my garage. So my grief counselor, actually, at my church, Ron Greer, who's written several books himself, had used Mimi as a publicist.
Mm-hmm.
And I was talking with him one day, and I said, Ron, I just don't know what to do with When God Comes Near Now. And he said, let me get back to you. So he called me back, and he said, I think you should talk to Mimi Schroeder, who's a publicist in the Atlanta area. So I called Mimi, very timid at first, and said, I need help. I said, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know what questions to ask, and I don't know where to go. So she was gracious enough to meet with me and ask me questions that actually made me feel like a writer for the first time, which I was delighted and boosted me up. You know, gave me mm-hmm. some encouragement. And so here we are several months later.
Mimi, I need you to ask me those questions, too. I want to feel like
no. She's good at it.
Well, how's that? Why were you willing, Mimi, to take Marcia on as a client?
Good question. For one thing, her book was very well done. It was not only beautifully written, well edited, no typos, thank God. But the whole thing was put together with quality materials. And also, I felt that she was a very presentable author. She spoke very well. She could represent her book very well. And the book had a particular audience that I felt it would appeal to. It's much harder to promote a book that has just appeals to everybody in general. This one appeals to people who have perhaps lost a family member or a friend. And I felt that it was an important message. Having lost a couple of family members myself, it really would be a helpful message to many, many people.
I agree. I'm sitting here, you know, I was a hospice chaplain for 2 years, and what you've written in that opening paragraph, I have lived with many of our clients and watched that happen.
Yes.
I was fortunate to go through that with my dad as well. Mm-hmm. It's powerful, and I like the comment that you made, Mimi, that really struck, and I want to get back to you on this, is well edited, no typos, solid writing.
Gee, that's generous.
Well, and why I want to lift this up is you have said, Marcia, that, you know, God helped you to write this book. And I understand that. I have had clients who have said to me when they've hired me as their editor, don't change this because God told me what to write. What would you advise me? I know what I said. What would you advise me to say to such people?
Well, I do think God puts inspiring thoughts in our minds and gives us an ability to do that. But I think he also expects us to be the best we can be working with nouns and verbs and punctuation marks. And I knew that I needed to take this beyond to have a professional editor mm-hmm. go over it and go over it and go over it. It was just important that it be the best it could be on all fronts.
Thank you. That's the polite way of saying what I say. We'll just leave that alone. So, Mimi, how do the two of you work?
Well,
we go to lunch.
We really are partners in crime. Marcia is a very involved author, which I enjoy. It's fun for me. It makes the budget go a lot farther. We got together at Starbucks a couple of times. And the first thing we did is we created a plan, because that's important for all authors and their publicists to do.
A plan. Talk to me.
A to-do list.
To-do list. You know, here, what's the budget?
Okay.
What's the timeline? Is there a timeline? In this case, November was an important month because it was International Creutzfeldt-Jakob International Awareness Month.
Okay.
So we sort of targeted November as when we were going to release a lot of our publicity.
Mm-hmm. And that's important when you can find dates like that or occasions like that. You know, as near as I can come, I was at a book signing in my hometown, I guess 4 weeks ago now, and I released my newest little book, and I wanted to do that to give some promotion to my hometown. So it's helpful when you're marketing and trying to get publicity to look at something like that.
It's very important to have events so that you have something to publicize. And when you go to the media and you don't have anything going on, and it's just it could be an article that would run anytime, it needs to have a time peg.
Okay. And once that passes by, then what do you do?
Well, then once you get your events lined up, then you publicize them. You look for conferences to go to. You schedule events. It could be, depending on the author, it could be a school visit. Could be an event in a museum. It could be a book festival. You look for all sorts of events that would be applicable and a good fit for that particular author. And then you publicize the heck out of them.
And that's the brilliance of Mimi, I think, is that she has taught me how to think in new and creative ways.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this book is just not the story about my faith journey during the illness and death of my daughter, but I have learned to look at it as I move further away from her death in terms of it being a book about hope and encouragement for others that have
Absolutely.
A broken heart, and it could be a loss of any kind.
Exactly.
But there is
yeah.
hope and encouragement out there. And she is creative, always thinking like, well, you could do this book signing, you could contact that bookstore. She's introduced me to bookstores in Atlanta that I didn't even know existed.
And there are those.
And I do
there?
Read.
Well, that was a great PR tip, though, I think, for those of us who are not professional PR people but appreciate the value of PR, is to have this time-bound element to what you're doing, so that there is some sense of urgency and there's some sense of connection to why they should, they, whoever they are, help you promote it now, this week, today, right?
Right. Why should the media be interested in this now?
And they have to be, and you've got to make them that.
It's not easy.
What's the critical piece for you, Mimi, when you work with an author? Is it your creative thought, or is it making sure that you've got a cooperative author? How does that work for you?
It's both. It's both. If your author is not cooperative, I try to stay away from those authors.
I would, too. Yeah.
I don't take everybody that I meet, because some authors are just, you know, if their dreams are impossible to, you know, to make come true, sometimes it's better just to stay away from them.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Let me guess. They come to you and say, this is the next bestseller.
Oh, they want to be on Oprah.
Yeah, but that,
of course, when there was Oprah.
That's number two.
And they don't understand why they shouldn't be on Oprah. And then you know you've got a problem.
Boy, don't you. How do you... I had to handle that with clients. How do you handle it?
Well, I tell them that, you know, when we can try, but I try to explain the odds against them, you know, why their book maybe is not Oprah material. Is it, you know, are they a celebrity? Is this, you know, a really hot topic? Is this, you know, how special or unique is this book? And how big is the audience? You have to be realistic and still go for things that are a stretch, but you don't want to be wasting your time and money and the author's money on a lot of things like Oprah.
Sure. For me, my answer was always, let's write the book first.
Yes.
Let's just get it written first. And did you want to be on Oprah?
No.
Good.
No. They haven't called, you know, and I haven't submitted to Oprah, but I just felt like what was so important, what resonated with me, what Mimi said, was you just really want to have this relationship. And when you believe in your story, it's not just about getting it out there, being on the bestseller list, but you believe in what you have to say
Absolutely.
To other people.
Absolutely.
And then someone like Mimi comes alongside and she reads your book and she says, I believe in this too.
Mm-hmm.
Then you start to realize that it's not so much about, oh, I've written a book, but it's that I have a message to share with other people.
I like that. You were at the Blue Ridge Mountain. I just go blank.
Writers
on
conference.
That thing. And I was there.
I did
too.
Go back. I went back.
But your book was already written and out.
Well, I went back in 11. This year is when it won the 3 awards.
Yeah.
Yes.
Why did you go back?
Why did I go back? Well, I loved it. I grew up going to that facility in Ridgecrest, North Carolina as a child.
Okay.
And it brought back wonderful memories. But I realized at the Writers' Conference, and I would offer this to anyone who's writing a book, Writers' Conferences are a great way to network, to meet people, to share common concerns, to learn new things.
Mm-hmm.
It's like going to school for a week.
Ooh.
And you can, and you can fill your day with absolutely wonderful classes that teach you a great deal. So that's why I went back. I also decided after the book came out that I felt it was good enough that I was going to take a real big, bold step, and I was going to enter it in some of the contests that they offered at the Writers' Conference. And little did I know that it would walk away with 3.
That's what I thought. You walked by me 3 times. I remember that. Actually, 6.
Sorry.
Up and back. But I hadn't submitted anything. I was there as a vendor, so I could just sit back and enjoy it. But that, you had to be just floating. In fact, I think I noticed on that last trip you were floating.
Well, the first time when it won the award for inspiration, I was excited. I thought, oh, this is great affirmation. You know, I'm so proud of this book. The second time, I was taken a little aback when it won over the 5 categories of that particular division. It won the overall Selah Award.
Mm-hmm.
And then when Al Gansky got up and he starts his talk by saying, the director's choice this year is given to a book that I never wanted to read. And he proceeds to tell a little bit about the painful journey that I wrote about. And then he gave his Director's Choice Award to When God Comes Near. Well, then I was just so humbled. I couldn't believe that it had taken all three awards.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Caught off guard.
Yeah, that's got to be a publicist's dream.
It is. To be able to say an award-winning author is always a thrill. And I think that Marcia's book is going to be getting some more awards, too, in the future.
Are you working on that?
Yes.
Oh, good, Mimi. I didn't know that.
Right. Yay. Here, we told
right
you.
Here.
There are many reasons why we call it Right Here, Right Now.
Well, I want to interject something there, because there are lots of writing opportunities out there.
Mm-hmm.
If you go online to writers' conferences, there are so many ways that you can enter your writing to be critiqued or judged. And it was just a bold step that I took. I had no idea that it would end up walking away with three awards. But I would recommend that to any aspiring writer, to go ahead and submit your work.
Mm-hmm. What has working with Mimi done for you?
Given me confidence in who I am.
Mm-hmm.
I still don't think of myself as a writer. And we sat in the car before coming into the office building here, and Mimi said, "You are an excellent writer. You've got to believe in yourself."
Mm-hmm.
So Mimi helps me to believe in myself. She also holds me accountable. Yesterday on the phone, she said, "I wanted to follow up with two things that we were working on." And I'm like, "Oh, I'm so sorry she mentioned those," because I hadn't done my homework. But I'm going to work on those. So mm-hmm. she holds me accountable. And she's my friend.
Well, yes. That last piece is powerful, isn't it?
Yes.
To have
yes.
a friend.
Yes.
When you work with a client such as Marcia, what's your biggest challenge?
The biggest challenge is selling books, to be very honest. It's not easy to get publicity, but to be able to sell the books is always a real challenge.
I was expecting something like keeping them in line, but maybe I was thinking more about you and me. Stoning myself.
Mimi would not have taken me on as a client. That's what I'm learning from this conversation.
I see.
her bar is a little higher than yours, I think.
Okay. Talk us through the steps. She comes to you, you talk. What are the questions you ask?
Well, I ask her who her audience is. And help her figure out who the audience is. I ask her if she's got a platform. Does she have a website? Is she on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn? Those things are all very important. Even though whether you're a self-published author or whether you're with a traditional publisher, you have to have a platform. The publishers just do not do that for authors anymore.
Yeah, define platform for those who are not too savvy on that stuff.
The platform is how you're going to market the book. And every author has to know how they're going to market the book, because they have to take an active role in that process.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It just doesn't get sold on its own, does it?
It doesn't get sold on its own.
No.
And you can have good reviews written for you on Amazon, but still you have to have that platform of getting the word mm-hmm. out there.
Now, Mimi, when you contact events, who do you contact? How do you convince them that this is the person they need to have there?
Well, we have developed a press kit for Marcia, and we do that for all authors. And we send elements of that press kit depending on what kind of event it is. The press kit would be the biography, synopsis, frequently asked questions, critical praise, list of awards, testimonials, things like that. And a picture of the author,
mm-hmm.
cover of the book. All those things go into the press kit and are used when pitching for an event.
Mm-hmm. Do you have to convince the event organizer why your client needs to be at that event?
Well, it depends on the event. Some of them, it's much more obvious than others. But yeah, I do have to become rather persuasive sometimes, and help the event coordinator realize what an asset this particular author would be to the event.
Okay. And what's the greatest frustration you encounter in your work?
One of them is not getting responses.
From a client?
No, from media or event coordinators. I was setting up author signings for another author recently, and I think I have contacted each of four bookstores at least a dozen times just to set up an author signing.
Wow, and no responses.
Well, I do get responses some of the time, and they'll say, oh, I haven't had time, call back later.
Oh, man.
Or all that sort of thing. And the nice thing is that eventually I do wear them down.
That's a good thing,
she
I think.
She stays with it.
You have to be tenacious, and that goes for authors, too.
One thing that Mimi does, too, is she opens up the door for me. Like, I just recently became a forum author for a website called Open to Hope Foundation. Hmm. And when I could quickly pull up my press kit and forward to them, mm-hmm. forward to them all the information, they knew I was legitimate. They mm-hmm. knew I had a definite platform in place, you know, with a website, with a blog, and they were quick to say, yes, we will take you on.
I like the word that you're legitimate. And wasn't it you just a few minutes ago that said, I'm struggling with being an author?
Yes, I still am. I can't believe it.
I think the answer to this is it hasn't taken hold yet, but what's what has the impact been on your life from being an author?
Well, it's very humbling when I think about this book, but it's also very exciting because I realize that I do have something good to say.
Mm-hmm.
I have something to say that other people really want to read on my blog mm-hmm. every week when I post. And I'm writing another book about grief. I'm following up with a sequel to this book to write about the year following a loss, and hope to go home today and work on that.
The bug bit you, didn't it?
Yes, it's exciting.
Isn't
when you
it amazing?
Can put words on paper and look at those words and think this is going out to someone else that resonates.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I don't know how that happens, but when you get that idea, that aha moment, when mm-hmm. you go want to put something down, you need to go and do it quickly, whether it's in your phone or on a piece of paper or on a shopping bag or whatever. You need to get that
Absolutely.
Thought down so you can go back and develop that thought.
You used a journal to help you with your first book.
Yes.
Are you turning to the journal again for this one on grief? Or
Absolutely.
What are you doing?
It's a follow-up. My husband, who's called Dr. Feelgood in the book, he said, Marcia, your writing is much better after Megan died. It just has gotten stronger and stronger and stronger. So I'm hoping that someone will like this book.
And how do you, as the publicist, feel about she's got book number two on the way?
It's wonderful. We were talking about this earlier today, that one of the ways to sell books is to write another book.
Another book.
Mm-hmm. And so you can go out there with the first book and the second book. That's always fun. That's always fun.
Mm-hmm. Well, self-publishing it, I think now going, if I do decide to go the route of seeking publication, people will look at me more seriously.
Mm-hmm.
As
mm-hmm.
I said, I'll be more legitimate because I have done this on my own the first time.
Mm-hmm. Is it getting easier to talk about it?
The
book, the writing, everything.
Yes, yes. The further I get in my own grief process, it is more about offering encouragement to other people that you can walk through the valley of the shadow of death and come through transformed with something to offer others.
I used to stress to people that it is a valley. It's not a resting place.
Yes.
And it may be a deep one, and it may be dark, but it's still a valley.
And some people do make it a resting place, you know? Some people don't move through that valley, and that's what
right.
I hope to do with the books.
Yeah, yeah. Mimi, what would be the sage advice that you would give to emerging writers, starting writers?
Well, there are a couple things. I think they need to determine what their goal is. Do they have a message that they want to get out there? Do they just think that they're going to sell a lot of books and make a lot of money? They need to know what their goal is, and they need to know what their audience is.
Mm-hmm.
Very important. And picture that audience when they're writing. Have a clear picture of that. And they need to plan ahead, because the first few months are the most important in a book's life. And it with some books, they have a longer life, but I know in when I was in publishing, when I worked for a publisher, the first 6 months was the life of the book, and after that, it was like, goodbye. Mm-hmm. we're on to the next list.
Wow.
So you really need to plan ahead, and you can't start thinking about marketing after the book has come out.
That's right. And that's another one of those pieces that people tend to ignore. I appreciated your saying you've got to be able to see your market as you write. That's something I stress with my clients. I really want them to see to whom they're writing. And the reaction I often get is a pushback. But if I only write mm-hmm. to those, what about you write to the people you intend? Mm-hmm. That way you know you'll have a good book.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Other people are going to read it outside of that market, but mm-hmm. that's because you've written something good.
Right.
Good. What would you like to share that I haven't asked you the right question for yet? We don't like silence on
the No, we don't.
You must have asked all the right questions.
Well, I would like to share that it is... We just never know when we're going to come upon an opportunity to do something that's going to change our life and mm-hmm. to change the lives of others. And had I said no to that day when my nurse friend said, you should start writing on a blog, on a caring page mm-hmm. website, had I said no to that and closed my doors and just gone through the valley of the shadow of death, sad and mm-hmm. despondent, then I wouldn't be experiencing the joy that I'm having today with this process. Painful, yes, still.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
But in a beautiful, bittersweet way where there is transformation that happens when you embrace, well, you embrace death.
Mm-hmm.
You embrace it. And you say, I will hold my head up. I will choose to find the good in this horrible situation in my life and my mm-hmm. family. And here we are 3 years later, and it's just been a beautiful journey.
What role has your husband played in this?
Dr. Feelgood.
Yes, him.
Totally supportive. Totally, totally supportive. In fact, there's a little yeah. paragraph in the book that I love to think about at the end of the book. It's when we had come through the valley of the shadow of death. And here's just a little paragraph. We tried to pick up and resume life gradually, carefully, and quietly. I was amazed that Blair had the courage to return to college and Owen resumed a regular work schedule. Routine seemed to help everyone. One morning, standing together at the coffee pot, Dr. Feelgood said quietly, would you like to go to the recycling center with me?
That was great.
He might as well have been asking me to go to Paris. I knew then we would survive. We had set aside our marriage for 16 months, but after 37 years together, we could still find pleasure in each other, even at a recycling center. We soon returned to the peace and beauty of our church and could feel the tender love in the eyes and arms of our family in Christ. We discovered that we could return to the golf course, and it became another sanctuary outside where we could be mesmerized by the wonder and orderliness of wildlife and sunsets. Life would continue. In spite of trying to move forward as different people, I knew that we all felt paralyzed with sorrow and shock that Megan's physical presence was really gone from us. We were all hurting in our own ways and seemed to respect each other's needs for private grief. I knew at some point we would need to redefine family. Oh, how we loved Megan and missed her terribly. As Jean Valjean sang in the musical Les Miserables, to have loved another person is to see the face of God.
Whoa. You, as a publicist, have to delight in that paragraph.
Yes, I do. I delight in having an author that's as passionate as Marcia is, because that is the secret to success.
Yeah,
Thank you, Mimi.
You're good.
Thank you.
You're an amazing team. I can still see you both approaching me at the Decatur Book Festival.
Double
oh, yeah.
teaming you.
Yeah.
They just kinda,
you ran from us.
Yeah, well. Kind of, because, we won't get into that. There were a lot of people there that wanted me that day.
But thank you for being there, because when I saw you doing your radio talk show there, I was told at the writers' conference that we should look for radio opportunities, and so I kind of hung around, and then you disappeared, and then the next day, Mimi and I were there when I had the 5 minutes to speak, and we thought, okay, let's go now. Let's go find them.
And it was a fun conversation.
It was.
Well, Stone, you know, before we went on air this morning, Marcia presented us with a delightful dilemma. she has two copies of her book that she would like to give away, and we have to figure out how we can do that. And I'm thinking, since a lot of people listen to this in the MP3 fashion, but there may be some listening live right now.
Oh, yeah.
If there are. Well, no, there are people listening live
yes,
right now.
Yes, there are.
If you are desirous of one of the two copies, what you need to do is send me an email at, get my card here. Send me
You don't
email.
Ever email yourself, do you? You don't know?
Well, I know what it is. I just, we could go with, I was going to have it go out on my radio station email address, but let's do it this way because I know it's the right one. If you would send it to me at Tim, T-I-M, at Wright, W-R-I-T-E, choiceservices.com. Send me an email as to why you deserve.
Oh, ouch. She's got a quality. That's not just a time
Absolutely. This is not a case of first come, first serve.
Oh, wow.
What we'll do, send me an email why you think you deserve to have a free autograph copy, because Marcia has just sat here and autographed them. And then what I'm going to do is I'm going to forward those on to Marcia and Mimi, and they get to decide. How's that for passing
the bottle? Oh, you're
hanging
that on
there. Yes, I am.
That'll
okay.
be fine.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And
thank you so much.
Yeah, I would love to do that. And I'll tell you what, if you're listening to this on an MP3, you know, after the fact, still do that. And I'll send them on to Marcia and Mimi, and who knows, they may decide that one or two of you also deserve a free copy. Now I'm really pushing it, aren't I? Marcia, how do people contact you? They want to talk with you, hear you speak, get a copy of your book. What should they do?
Right. Well, they can get a copy of the book on Amazon.com, and I'm in about 7 bookstores in the Atlanta area. They can go to my website, marciagaddis.com. That's MarciaGaddis.com. And they can contact me through my website.
Great. And Mimi, how do they contact you?
They can email me at Mimi, M-I-M-I, at Max, M-A-X, book, PR.com.
And Max is?
Max was my first Westie, and I had Max for about 18 years, and he just kept me company through all my computer work and writing, and I decided to name the company after him.
What He's your inspiration.
Yes.
What a great thing to do. What a great thing to do. Well, you both survived. How about that?
Phew.
Yeah.
I did. Hey, can I tell you about a book signing I have this week?
Absolutely.
Oh, what do you think?
Yeah. Yes.
Well, sure. Absolutely.
Well, my publicist, Mimi, arranged for me to be at Eagle Eye Books in Decatur on Saturday
great.
At 1 o'clock. So we'll be having conversation and a few readings and some refreshments over with Doug Robinson at Eagle Eye. And love That's to see great. People over there in Decatur.
Well, the Eagle Eye Bookstore is a major supporter of the Decatur Book Festival as
yes,
well.
Yes, they are.
So let him know that he got a double plug, okay?
I will. Okay.
Great.
I will
I'm glad
that.
You brought that up.
Thank you.
Well, the clock is on us, and I always welcome your comments and suggestions about our content and about our guests. If you would like to recommend a guest or be a guest yourself on Right Here, Right Now, let us know. Hey, look at this stone. Send us an email at whwnbusinessradiox@gmail.com. Thank you, Stone, for co-hosting and keeping me on track and laughing along with me this morning. And I thank you to our guests, Marcia Gaddis and Mimi Schroeder. One more time, Marcia, your contact information?
Yes, www.marciagaddis.com.
Okay, and Mimi, yours?
Email me at mimi@maxbookpr.com.
Great. And I want to remind our listeners of a special edition of Right Here, Right Now being broadcast live this Friday, November 18th at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific. That's going to be a roundtable discussion by business leaders who are also authors, and they're going to talk about how to effectively go about a job search and networking during the holiday season. Right Here, Right Now is brought to you each week by Right Choice Services. Learn more about Right Choice Services at www.right, that's W-R-I-T-E, choiceservices.com. I hope you will join us next week, and please tell your friends about the show. In fact, send them an email right now to invite them to listen live or to the downloads, and especially to listen this Friday at 2 o'clock. Right Here, Right Now, broadcast live every Tuesday morning at 10 a.m. at righthererightnow.businessradiox.com. and the MP3 version is available later today. I am Tim Morrison, and join us next time when business leaders, entrepreneurs, and professionals come together to discuss the power of the pen and its impact on their business right here, right now.